To answer your questions before we begin, yes, I do feel as rough as I look. And if you're listening along at home, I look pretty rough. I'm more than happy to be confined to my office today, not thinking about anything, and certainly not doing anything that requires me to be out of doors. Well, dang it. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and let me try that again. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and I had a long day yesterday doing something I very much enjoyed. I had a very good time doing it with some very professional, very, very nice people. It sapped the life out of me in such a way that I have not experienced in a very long time. What was I doing? I was shooting a promotional ad? Commercial for 3M as an actor or like a stand or like a person, a model, I don't know what. If you happen to be the building manager of a very, very like powerful, important, huge skyscraper or something, then you might see the commercial I was in because it's only going to be shown to like huge clients overseas. But if you do see the commercial I'm in, you probably won't recognize me because A, I'm not wearing my glasses, and B, you don't ever really see my face, I think. I think they mostly shot over my shoulder and stuff so they could dub in lines later for international businesses, which is fine. I've got a paycheck, and I had a really good time, but I slept hard, I woke up harder, and now I'm podcasting extremely hard. And this week's book is not about relaxing, taking it easy, or anything. As I showed up top, it is the Berenstain Bears Get Outdoors. Get out! Get outdoors, you bears! Get outdoor! Get out my house! What goes through my head. By Mike Berenstain. This book, by the way, it's from this year. 2025, it's an I Can Read beginning reading book, level 1. And it's kind of a return to form, just for the bears behaviorally. It's very reminiscent of classic Berenstain Bear stories, in which Papa tries to teach the cubs how to do something, and of course they end up being good at it anyway, and he just keeps screwing it up. It's a very simple story. There's not a whole lot to say about the tale in question, so instead I will fill in the blanks with personal anecdotes, as I do. I will use this as an opportunity to exercise my storytelling skills in anticipation of me driving to Illinois next month for the Elgin Fringe Festival, where I'll be doing my storytelling, improv, storytelling, personal anecdotes, storytelling show, trust exercises, in which I'll be far more together and feel far better than I do right now. So let's talk about the Berenstain Bears. Get outdoors, you bears. You get out of here, bears. Get outdoors, bears. I'm just going to keep doing that because I enjoy it and it makes me feel a very special. So the Berenstain Bears Get Outdoors, as I said, is by Mike Berenstain. It's based on the characters created by Stan and Jan Berenstain. Heard of them? Have you heard of thems? So in this book, Honey and Sister and Brother are getting ready to go out. Well, it says are getting out. Honey, Sister, and Brother are getting outdoors. Not getting ready to go outdoors. They're getting outdoors. Those cubs better get out. So I'm going to stop doing that. It's taking a lot out of me. It's requiring a lot more energy than you'd imagine, and it's kind of wrecking my throat. So I'm not going to do that fun, hilarious voice anymore. If you end up missing it later on, maybe you can write to me and ask me to do a whole recording of just that one character, which I call Grumpy Guy Who Is Old, or Man in the Neighborhood. So Honey Bear and Brother Bear and Sister Bear are hauling their camping gear out of doors, leaving the treehouse. They're going to go camping in their own backyard. And we know they're going camping in their own backyard because we see Mama Bear standing at the back door of the house. Papa Bear is splitting wood on his wood splitting stump. He glances over, he sees the cubs leaving, and let's take a look at the gear these cubs have. Honey is hauling, it looks like a giant sleeping bag, some sort of pot. So like a portable stove, maybe, a rope. She has a tin cup strapped to her waist. A sister has a canteen, a backpack, and a bedroll. And brother is carrying what looks like a large, maybe a portable chair, like a deck chair, a cast iron pan. He has binoculars around his neck. He's holding a big flashlight, and he has a lantern in one. These kids are all set up. Let's talk about camping. Let's talk about camping gear. Let's talk about going camping. Let's talk about camping outside. Oh, yeah. Let's also talk about the fact that the Cubs seem to have left a huge mess in the backyard. There's giant pans and a spade. There's a picnic basket and like a metal kettle and a giant thermos and a folding chair. I don't think we get back to this mess. Maybe we do. I don't know. Let's assume the Cubs left a huge mess and Mama doesn't care. For once in her blessed life, Mama doesn't care if there's a mess. Let's talk about gear. Let's talk about camping. Let's talk about camping gear. I have only been camping a few times in my life, as you can probably imagine, from looking at me and from knowing me and from hearing me and from talking to me and from being friends with me or listeners to me. You're probably like, that guy doesn't go outside of his own volition very often. I've talked about this in other episodes. I don't like the outdoors as a rule. You catch me on the right day, I'll enjoy a trip in the park. I'll enjoy a sit on the porch. I'll enjoy building a campfire. I will enjoy an outdoor activity. It's rare. It's not a common occurrence for me, and it's not something that I voluntarily do, but I have been camping on a number of occasions, and by a number, I mean a very small number. First time was when I was a child. I went with my family and a group of families to a campground in Texas. Don't even remember where it was. It was on a large man-made lake, because that's the kind of lakes they have in Texas. Because the glaciers didn't get down that far. It's a large man-made lake, and I don't remember much about the lake except that it was filthy, huge, and had a lot of dead fish floating in it, which was wild. We also went fishing in that lake. I don't think we intended to eat anything we captured. It was a campground. It wasn't like we found a man-made lake and like decided to camp by it. There was bathrooms. You could use a bathroom there with lights. And there was like a ton of families around. Interesting anecdote from that. So we were all standing and fishing at the lake and the concrete barrier at the lake. And we had a lantern, not unlike the one Brother Bear is holding, except it was electric. And so that was down at our feet, and there was a bunch of us. And one by one, people peeled off from our group and went back to the campground, which was within, like, sight of us. And the final person left standing at the side of the lake with their fishing rod, picking his stuff up. And I was young. I probably, like, fifth grade or so, sixth grade. Less than sixth grade. Probably fourth or fifth grade. I had my rod and reel, I packed them up, and realized that no one else was around me, which was fine. Again, I could see them, I knew where they were, and they started calling to me. Philip, they would say, Philip, come on, we're about to eat, come back. By this point, though, dusk had fallen, and my dad was like, go bring the lantern, you know, we're up. So I went to go get the lantern, and it was literally enveloped in a cloud of swarming bugs, probably just mosquitoes and like whatever, moths, things like that. But just like this huge cloud of them. Imagine a cloud that if you stuck your hand into it, it would disappear and then be reduced to bone. At least that's what was going through my head at the time. So there was absolutely no way I was going to stick my hand into this cloud of insects and pick up this lantern. So I did. The options were ask someone for help, or go back to the campground, without the lantern. And so I did the obvious choice, which was pretend I couldn't hear the people yelling my name from 20 yards away. Pretend I was so caught up in the moment, I guess, or in the atmosphere, in nature, that I was lost to the world. And their words flew right over my head. They were screaming, Philip, Philip, come up, Philip, Philip. And in my head, I was like, just ignore this act. This is, you're on another plane of existence now, and you cannot hear your family bellowing for you. Until finally my dad came storming over, and was like, Philip, couldn't you, what's going on? And I was like, oh, I guess I was lost in a reverie. Couldn't hear my own family calling my name. Fortunately, this didn't happen at some sort of emergency. For I was lost to the ages, lost in the wilds of the forest. But answering the call of the wild, Father, if you will, I couldn't hear and nor would I hear. Because I was communing with the elements, communing with the elementals, if you will. Trapped by the spirits of Mother Nature in her delicate bosom. And my father was like, "What? Get grab the lantern, let's go." And I was like, "Could you grab the lantern?" He's like, "You grab the lantern." I was like, "There's too many bugs." And that was a point where he realized that he had raised the wrong child. That was my first experience camping. I had friends there, friends of the neighbors, and we had a good enough time. But I was like, well, that was once. Don't ever have to do that again. And didn't ever do that again until I got to, like, college, I think, and went camping. They had free camping gear you could borrow at the student, like, the gym, like, the outdoors. I don't know what it was called. But you could borrow from the college camping equipment, and my girlfriend and I borrowed a bunch of camping equipment to go camping in the mountains, which is the one place I could stand camping because it was dry, and the only creepy crawlers you had to worry about were large enough to see coming. So it's scorpions and spiders and snakes and tarantulas. I was fine with the idea of those. I didn't like bugs. I don't like humidity. So camping in the desert was fine. But that's not where our bear cubs are camping. So let's find out where they are. Oh, it's the backyard. It says in the first page, their own backyard. Whoops. So Pop is like, oh boy, a backyard camp out. I love sleeping outside. I will join you. And he's running. So Pop is running at the cubs. They're looking over their shoulders and they look fine. They look pleased that Papa is joining them. You could say it's just weary resignation, but it looks more like, all right, let's see where this goes. It's not so much like we were hoping Papa would join us. It was more like this isn't going to go well, but at least we know we'll be safe, I think is the looks on their faces. So Papa's like, I'm a good camper and I'll show you how to do it. And the brother has a look on his face like, look, Papa, I've been through this. I've been through numerous books of this. But again, he's not like worried. He's not concerned. He knows that whatever happens to Papa, Papa will live, and that he, Brother Bear, will never die. So we get the shot of Papa trying to set up their tent. This is a tent, by the way, that is built. This was a tent that was sold probably in 1940 something, 30 something. It's comprised not of like thin snap together rods that will weather any storm, but like large metal pipes, the kind of what you would see in the basement carrying hot water to your bathrooms. These enormous heavy metal pipes. I guess that's what was in Brother's thing. They have a tent. It's not a deck chair. It is a tent that, look, from the looks of it, probably weighs fully 150 pounds. Papa is hilariously trying to set this thing up with, I don't understand, like holding the rope in his mouth. We do get the rare Berenstain Bears image of holding something in your teeth, which I guess isn't something that Mike has drawn a lot of, because it's frankly horrifying. It looks like Papa is some kind of horrific Cenobite. I don't know what else to say. He looks like the chattery teeth Cenobite, kind of. He has no lips, because the bears don't really have much in the way of discernible lips. His gums are pulled way up, and his teeth are just together. And he's like biting the rope. I'm gonna. Hold on, I'm gonna do this properly. I can't do this without holding my guns. But hey, cubs, I'm gonna help you set up your tent. Ha ha ha! I'm Papa Bear. Something like that. It doesn't work. He has trouble setting up the tent and ends up collapsing into it. But he's like, you get the idea. And then the cubs set it up, lickety-split. They have it set up, no problem. The next thing that happens, though, is they're going to start a campfire, and Papa's like, they set up a nice little, like cone shape with the sticks and the twigs and the leaves, a little campfire. But Papa can't get the matches to catch until finally he runs out of matches. Oh, and by the way, the discarded picnic basket and stuff has shown up at the campgrounds now. There's hot dogs, there's wieners and buns. There's probably like 30, 40 some odd hot dogs. I don't know how many they're planning on eating, but there's a lot. There's also a lot of campfire wood left. Also, there is a house just within spitting distance. They could probably go find more matches, but Papa's like, no, we're not going to do that. I'm going to show you how to light a fire just by rubbing two sticks together, which he then proceeds to set up not at all properly. I don't know if you've ever tried to light a fire by rubbing two sticks together. It is an insanely difficult process. If you look up in like how-to guides on how to light a fire with two sticks. It requires muscle and time and dry wood and some sort of bow with a string attached, like Sister is holding behind Papa. He can't get the sticks to light because he's trying to do it the way he probably saw cartoon characters do it in the 1950s, which is just holding one stick and just rubbing another stick on it, which I guess if you were like The Flash or Quicksilver, you could rub fast enough to create heat, but then you could just do that with your hands. Also, he didn't try using a flint or anything, like a rock to create a spark. I don't know. But as the song says, Papa, you can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire, even if we're just dancing in the dark. Don't know what those lyrics mean, actually, now that I say them out loud. But Sister and Brother and Honey are like, we know how to do this, Papa. They set up the stick with the thing on top, and Sister has the stick with the rope, and Brother and Honey are blowing on the thing. It looks like a lot more trouble than it's worth. Honestly, it looks like a lot more trouble. They could just go next door and borrow somebody's lighter. I that would be me. Like, at this point, I guess the kids are dead. They start a fire. They start a fire using the tried and true boys' life method of the stick with the wood, and you blow on it until it starts burning. I guess that's how it works. So they're all sitting around. They're enjoying hot dogs. Papa is eating 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 hot dogs, which, okay, I guess they did need to bring that many. And Papa declares it time to tell spooky stories because the light's going dim. It's time to tell spooky stories. And he decides to tell them a story. Flashback to many, many years ago, he decides to tell them the tale of the Ghost of the Forest. Which is about a ghost who sneaks up on campers. As it says, we have a great illustration of Papa acting out the Ghost of the Forest. We see an image of the Ghost of the Forest behind him. I want you all to cast your mind back to deep in Bear Country. Let's cast our brains back to October 29th, 2016. So approaching 9 years ago. Approaching 9 years ago, I dropped the episode 74, The Berenstain Bears Trick or Treat with Aaron Shepard. It was part of my ongoing Halloween series. Oh, it was actually episode 73 because that was The Berenstain Bears and The Ghost of the Forest, which was about Papa trying to scare the cubs by pretending to be the Ghost of the Forest when they're out camping with Scout Leader Jane. So, and it's Brother and Sister and Cousin Fred at the time. Now, obviously, the years have gone on, and they seem to have forgotten they ever heard the story of the Ghost of the Forest. But Papa is here to remind them, and we get a great illustration of that harkens back to the way Stan and Jan envisioned the Ghost of the Forest back then. I just want you to go back and listen to the episode. Pretty good episode. I will say this. In my early days, especially the first couple of years, I hadn't quite mastered the art of interviewing. And I tend to talk a lot more than I would now. Should have let Aaron talk more in those episodes. My bad. I will, maybe we'll, I don't know. In any case, I think I'm a better interviewer now than I was back then. I should have guests on more often. That's a thought. Guess on. But then Papa hears a spooky noise and he dives into the tent because he's like, the Ghost of the Forest. But it's not the Ghost of the Forest. It is instead the wildest, weirdest, most wonderful and bizarre thing I've seen in a Berenstain Bears book in quite a while. There's a pair of glowing yellow eyes. Who are they attached to? You're probably like a Cousin Fred, too tall, some money, Mama Bear maybe. No, it's our old friend, Mr. Raccoon? It's Mr. Raccoon, who is a character. I don't know who this is, but I'm happy to see him. It's just Mr. Raccoon. He smelled the hot dogs. Will you join us, Mr. Raccoon? Asked the cubs. And he's like, don't mind if I do. And we, the readers, and you, the viewers or listeners, are left going, have I forgotten Mr. Raccoon? Where does he come from? I remember Mr. Skunk. I remember Mr. and Mrs. Beaver and their family. I remember there were some rabbits at one point. There was the brother's friend who is a rabbit, who's related to the Easter Bunny. I remember all that. I don't remember Mr. Raccoon. Who is Mr. Raccoon? Ladies and gentlemen, this is unprecedented. And there's just a raccoon who's their friend now, I guess. Mr. Raccoon lives next door or something. He lives in the woods, maybe, but he's a sentient beast. He's a sentient beast. Raising all kinds of questions, once again. Are because beavers are considered like workaholics in Bear World, and they are, and because rabbits are considered in constant rudders in the Bear World, and they are, and because skunks are considered stinky boys in Bear World, and they are, does that mean that Mr. Raccoon, who looks like a bandit and is a raccoon, also falls victim to being the living embodiment of the stereotype? Is he a thief? Does he go through the bear family's garbage at night? Does he and his family live in their attic crawl space? Who knows? I don't know, because these answers aren't questioned. In fact, these questions aren't answered. The questions aren't even questioned. They don't ask these questions. The bear cubs are like, haven't seen you in a while, Mr. Raccoon. Have you been rooting through our trash? And he's not like, yum, yum, hot dogs. I sure wish they were available in smellier form. Because he's not a garbage pail kid. Like, he's not disgusting. He is their neighbor. But he joins them for hot dogs. We don't see him eat, so we don't get the joy of seeing him wash the hot dogs with his, as Aaron said back in the day, his little man hands. We don't get to see his little raccoon man hands, which are disturbing and distressing. I would have loved it if he took the hot dog and was like, hold on a sec, went down to the crick and like washed off his wiener. I'm just going to keep saying that. And then dipped the bun, like tried to scrub the bun. Have you seen the video of the raccoon trying to eat cotton candy? They give a raccoon cotton candy and its impulse is to wash it. And every time it tries to wash it, it just dissolves into nothingness. And the raccoon is like, what is happening? Funny video. Cruel trick to play on a raccoon psychologically, but healthy trick to play on the raccoon dentally, because you don't want a raccoon just eating straight sugar like that. It's not good for the raccoon. But that raccoon is going to have trust issues, which it should, because you don't want raccoons getting used to being handed food by humans. Everyone wins. So the cubs get in bed. They try to fall asleep, but Papa hears spooky noises, and he's like, I'll never get to sleep. Spooky noises. But he does fall asleep. That's the joke. Papa falls asleep. And while he's asleep, the cubs get cold. They wake up. They go inside to the treehouse to sleep. And Mama's waiting for them at the back door, lantern in hand. And the next morning, so it says, in the morning, Papa is still sound asleep. He snores and snores. Nothing can wake him up. He's a really good camper. Hooray for Papa, I guess. But what's funny is, the last image in this book, the last image in the Berenstain Bears, get outdoors! The last image is of Papa Bear asleep. He's sort of hanging out. He is hanging out of the opening. And snoring, there's Z's coming out of his mouth, as they do. He's hanging out of the opening. Standing over him, feet together, tail aloft, one hand cupped in one elbow, the other hand, or his elbow cupped in one hand, I guess. His elbow cupped in his hand. His other hand stroking his chin, and with a sly look on his face, stands Mr. Raccoon, not acknowledged in the narrative. Not acknowledged as like, and above him loomed the form of Mr. Raccoon for some reason. I'm going to assume that Mr. Raccoon stood there Paranormal Activity style, unmoving for hours, just watching Papa Bear sleep. Or that one of Mr. Raccoon's deals is simply watching the bear family sleep. Does Mr. Raccoon climb into the tree, which he's more than capable of doing? Does he climb into the treehouse at night and look in through the windows at our family asleep? And does he have that look on his face? Does he sit there with his elbow in his hand, stroking his chin? Is he like, one of these days, this will be my family, Papa Bear? Or does he look at Papa Bear sleeping and he's like, when you dream, Papa Bear, do you dream of me? Is that Mr. Raccoon? What is Mr. Raccoon's deal? Mike Berenstain, what's Mr. Raccoon's deal? Did you include him in this book so we would wonder as to his relationship to the Berenstain Bear family? I don't know. I will tell you this. I filmed that commercial yesterday. The reason I landed the role in the commercial is because of this show. They were given my name and they found my, or were handed a link to this show on YouTube. And because the role was without dialogue and mostly from the back and mostly sitting down, they were like, this guy knows how to express himself physically and emotionally while sitting absolutely still in front of, like, not absolutely still, but while sitting in a chair in front of a camera. This guy knows what he's doing. So I'm going to tell you something right now. College didn't pay off. Podcasting on YouTube paid off. It paid off. For everyone in our podcasts on Reddit who's like, you chucks and darn to YouTube, ruining our podcasting chances. First of all, not my fault you don't have this moneymaker, this gold bag of jewels that is my face. Not my fault you don't know how to express yourself by flip-flapping your hands around. That's the secret. You gotta flip-flap your hands around, bop your head a lot. This is the moneymaker right here. That's what casting agents are looking for. So if you're having trouble getting cast in commercials, next time you go, if you're an actor and you're like, I can't land the big role. I can't land the big ad. Go up. Next time they're like, okay, where this ad is for Dorita chips. Your role is you just got to look like you take a bite out of a Dorita chip and you enjoy it. Then be like, hot dog, diggity dog. Love them chips. You're going to land a role. You're going to land a national ad. You're going to land a national ad. And if they don't want you, put my name in there. I don't want to get representation. I just want friends to recommend me for parts and then to get them without having to do anything except what I'm doing right now. There you go. Also, if you need me for a commercial shoot, I'm available. Just let me know. If you're out of the state, fly me in. Put me up somewhere. I'll do your role. I'll do your commercial. I'll advertise anything. I'll advertise poison for people. If that's what you're selling, if you're like, this is just poison and you give it to someone and then they don't live anymore, I'll do it. If the price is right and you put me up in a nice hotel and you buy me lunch, maybe give me a haircut. That's all I ask. So that was the Berenstain Bears. Get outdoors. You bears, you get outdoors for I kick you out. Told you I would do it at the end. I'd do the voice again. Whew, it doesn't feel good on my throat, though. It's not a good voice to do. That's the Berenstain Bears. Get outdoors. Get outdoors! By Mike Berenstain from 2025. Is it any good? You be the judge. Nah, it's cute. It's cute. It's not too complicatedly written. It's a level one beginning reader. Buy it. Get it! Get a copy of this book. It's good. You'll like it. And I'm going to go practice some more of my hilarious character voices. Just remember that I don't like camping. I've refused to do it since I was a legal adult, like an actual adult, not a college adult. Those aren't real. But ever since I've grown up, the thought of being outside in a tent, in a sleeping bag, anywhere, why would I do that? That's why I evolved these. They're called thumbs, and you do this with them. Play video games. That's it. And why I have this mouth for podcasting. Can't podcast out in the woods unless you bring your microphone, which I guess I could do, but I won't. So thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of this big, stupid experiment that I've been doing for over 10 and a half years. It's called Deep in Bear Country, Berenstain Bearcast, and it's been going on for so long, and I had to explain it to people yesterday, and that was weird. It's always weird. People don't get it, and as the years go by, they get it even less. My name is Phil Gonzalez. I love all of you equally, and I'll see you all next time deep in a bear country. Get it!